Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Often imitated these days, but never duplicated. We've got a huge docket for you today, so let's get to it. First, new documents released in the Lori Vallow case in Arizona. We'll talk about what it shows in relation to the Idaho cases. Second, are these two men responsible for the death of Molly Tibbetts? Third, an animal rights lawyer here in the state of Colorado pleads guilty to hiring a hitman. Fourth, a TV actor accused of murder, man responsible for a death on a cruise ship of his wife is now deceased. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And this is so big today, we had to bring you two. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell. Why the little bell, you may ask? Because if you hit that little bell, you'll receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, we try to put up content at least 6 days a week for you. We go live every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. Please join us. Immediately after that, we go to our Patreon show exclusively for our Patreon members, and all our Patreon members start sending your questions in for me. I will answer anything regarding me or the practice of law. So send in those questions. We'll talk about that and what's in the news. And don't forget, you can always call in. Now, please, if you haven't done so, also please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and of course, our Patreon page. And if you can't watch us, you can follow us and listen to us and download us on a podcast. We are on every platform there is, so please download the podcast as well. Okay, last week seemed like it was a little slow on news, but this week is already off to a great start. Why, you may ask? Well, new documents have been released in regards to the Lori Vallow matter, the one in Arizona. As you may recall, Lori Vallow was charged basically conspiring with Alex Cox, her boyfriend, in regards to the death of her then husband. Well, a trove of emails and photos have been released by the police investigating that case, and they may appear to show the last pictures of her 7-year-old son before he was allegedly murdered. That's right, and his sister. The photos, which were recovered from Lori Vallow's iCloud account, they include one shot of JJ in red pajamas dated September 22nd of 2019, which is what investigators to be is the last photo of JJ alive. There were also some photographs of ammunition taken from an Idaho gun store. Not exactly sure how that plays in, except for the fact that, as you may recall, Tammy DeBell was shot at. She may have thought that it was something else, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. There's another shot, another screenshot of a plane ticket that reveals Vallow had booked a flight under a false name from Idaho to Phoenix Mesa Gateway the day after Vallow's brother attempted to shoot Tammy DeBell. I guess that's the ammunition. And why would you book a plane flight unless you wanted to make sure you were not in the area, perhaps establishing an alibi? Perhaps. Other pictures that were discovered on the iCloud account were taken from a California hotel, and they appear to date between November 28th and December 1st, when police were actually searching for Vallow's two children. Now, the photographs are in addition to some heavily redacted 2,500 emails, and they've been produced via a public information request from the Chandler Police Department. They've also been released now that an indictment has actually come down. As you may recall, she was indicted for conspiracy to commit murder in relation to the death of her ex-husband, Charles Vallow, who was shot to death by her brother, Alex Cox. And this was back on July 11th. This was all in regards to a custody dispute in regards to their son, JJ. Now, the police originally ruled that Cox was acting in self-defense. There were some irregularities for sure, but the other Lori Vallow matters made the police look a little closer and determined that everything that Alex Cox had indicated did not make sense. Now, we have talked about this before, and we're going to start going through all these emails, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling anybody to commit crime, but the cell phone, right? The cell phone, the ones that we all carry around, this thing has so much data, and it's amazing. People just do not realize the amount of data that is acquired. Every time you drive down the street and, you know, it says, hey, would you like to join this particular Wi-Fi account? That is all getting recorded without your information. I've seen cases where people were seen casing the bank, driving around, all coming from cell phone data. Now, not that I'm saying commit crime, but if you're going to, don't take your cell phone, for God's sakes. And if you're going to commit crime, you probably shouldn't do it via text messages and email. The bottom line is that it is all saved. And even if you think you've deleted it from this little phone here, no, it still is going to be backed up, assuming you have iCloud or some other storage device that saves everything that goes on in your phone in regards to emails, photographs, and text messages. If it's all there, guess what? They're going to find it. They're going to find it. And I've said this once and I will say it again. It is always the defendant's own words that come back and bite them. And what I mean bite them means get them convicted. Okay. And some people seem to think that, and particularly people that get arrested, think the only thing that ever matters is what I say to the police upon my arrest. No, it's anything you say. Right? They're warning you. Anything you tell us right now when they give you a Miranda advisement. But it's anything that you've said to anyone comes in and is admissible against you as an admission by a party opponent. Obviously, it has to be relevant, but it's admissible. And people seem to forget that. Oh, I'll write a novel about what I'm going to do. Go do it. Well, you can't use that. I didn't say that to the police. It all comes in, ladies and gentlemen. It all comes in. We're going to continue to watch new information on Lori Vallow. It's going to get good. These emails, I'm telling you, they're going to be the demise of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Mark my word. Next on the docket, are these two men responsible for the death of Molly Tibbetts? The plot thickens, no doubt. Now, obviously, people know or should be aware that Christian Rivera was found guilty of the death of Molly Tibbetts. And when he testified at trial, he basically came up with a very bizarre event, basically almost saying that he was kidnapped and he was forced to basically bury the remains of Molly Tibbetts. It was a very unusual statement, but that was a statement that he had originally given to the police. It is what his attorneys have stated. He stated happened from the beginning, and he stuck to that. Now, at trial, he has an absolute right to testify, no matter how bizarre the story may be. And at first, I'm going to say, I was admitting it didn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, how do you back it up? And then I started thinking, I had a case once where I was just like, you got to be kidding me. This is, why are we doing this? Why are we going to trial? And the client was adamant that we were going to trial. And literally, one of the witnesses on cross-examination admitted something that my client had claimed was kind of the precipitous to everything, and he literally jumps up like, I told you. No matter how bizarre it is, I'm telling you, just when you think you've heard it all, something more bizarre can happen. So there's been a motion filed on behalf of Rivera through his attorneys, basically stating that the prosecution had information regarding these other two gentlemen that were apparently bragging about being responsible for death of Molly Tibbetts. And they didn't really turn anything over until, oops, coincidentally, after the conviction. Well, some people could argue that's a Brady violation. Now, Mr. Rivera was to be sentenced last week, but the judge said, no, hold on, we're going to pump the brakes here. And if something was potentially exculpatory, something that would reduce the criminal exposure to the defendant, then it has to be turned over to the defense. And apparently, the prosecution in this case has only turned over a little bit of the information that they have. According to Rivera's attorneys, they state that Chad and Jennifer Freese, and inmates at the county jail, stated back in May that he heard someone admit that Tibbetts was bound and gagged in a trap house, but that he was directed to kill Tibbetts once the search for her got too close. Now, citing information provided by an inmate, Arnie Mackey, two men identified as Gavin Jones and Dalton Hansen are allegedly the true killers. Mackey told authorities that Jones said he killed Tibbetts with the help of Hansen after a sex trafficker ordered her to be killed. The witness allegedly claimed that Tibbetts was being held for sex trafficking, but then killed her when her case became too high profile. Now, both Jones and Hansen have denied the accusations against them. They both reportedly said they had nothing to do with Tibbetts' death, and no one has ever questioned them about the case. The cops, Jones stated, "The cops haven't talked to me. No one's talked to me. You're the first person that's reached out to me." That was referring to a newspaper that reached out to Mr. Jones. He further states, "I wasn't involved in anything. I have alibis and everything. I am just waiting for someone to come talk to me." Hansen also reportedly denied these allegations, claiming that he has no clue why his name was ever brought up in this case. According to defense lawyers for Rivera, they claim that James Manuel Lowe was the alleged sex trafficker. He is a 50-year-old who was reportedly identified as someone who once lived with the mother of Xavier Harrelson. This boy disappeared from his home in Iowa a day before Rivera was found guilty. Now, Hansen's former girlfriend, identified as Lindsay Voss, also came forward and told police that Jones put a gun to his head and admitted his part in the murder. Now, last week, the prosecution said that there was zero evidence to back up Jones' confession and that there's no doubt that Rivera murdered Miss Tibbetts. Now, as we talked about during the trial, Rivera alleged that two men kidnapped him at gunpoint in his home, made him drive them up to where Tibbetts was, and he claims that's where they carried out the killing and then stuffed her in the trunk. Rivera also alleged that the authorities pressured him into a false confession. He had previously told investigators that he followed Molly in his car while she was jogging, but blacked out when she threatened to call the police on him. Rivera claimed that he woke up with blood in his car and Tibbetts' body in the trunk. That's why I thought originally, seems a little odd. Still seems a little odd, but I think that the court should have a hearing. Let's flush all this information out. So if there is, in fact, an innocent man, or maybe not guilty of everything that he was convicted of, he doesn't have to spend any additional time in custody. That's just the fair thing to do. Now, obviously, the defense has a real problem here because no one is going to get up and say that they did it, right? And if they did, well, they would be appointed counsel and advised that they have a Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. So unless they want to go to prison for the rest of their lives, of course, they're going to deny it. Well, that's where the other statements come in to impeach what these gentlemen allegedly said in regards to the death of Molly Tibbetts, and then the fact finder, and in this case, it would be the judge, to weigh the credibility to see if it's credible or not. We'll continue to bring you updates on this because it's going to be dragging out a little bit longer and certainly a twist at the end that nobody really expected, except maybe the prosecutors who withheld a little bit of that information, allegedly. We'll wait and see how things shake out before we give you our final opinion. Next on the docket, a lot of attorneys in trouble these days. Remember this woman? We brought you the story about her several months ago. Her name is Jennifer Reba Emmy. She's also known as Jennifer Reba Edwards. And she was an attorney, basically an advocate for pets' rights. And she appeared on lots of TV shows and had her own, I think, Facebook show that she did quite a bit. Now, it was alleged back in November of 2020 that she was asking some of her ranch hands to kill the ex-husband and the new girlfriend, just who happened to be the au pair that worked for the couple. Rule of advice, don't hire the au pair. They seem to always wind up with the husband. Just saying, don't do it. Well, of course, Miss Emmy denied the allegations when she was arrested. And this is why you don't try to try your case in the press. You certainly don't want your client to make any statements that could be used against them. But the reality of it is you want them to keep their mouth shut. Why? So when your client makes statements that she was set up, she wants all the truth and everything to come out, not good. You don't want those. Why? Because it looks like maybe she was trying to manipulate things and not being truthful, when in fact she enters a plea of guilty. And that is what Miss Emmy has done. She has pled guilty to solicitation to commit second degree murder, menacing, in the heat of passion, strangulation, and that's in regards to her own child, attempting to influence a judge, ooh, bad fact, violation of bail bond conditions, retaliation against a witness, and stalking, all of which are felony counts. She also pled guilty to misdemeanor charges of child abuse, criminal mischief, reckless driving, and evidence tampering. In exchange for those guilty pleas, the prosecutors dismissed 11 other felony charges and 12 misdemeanor charges. Now, in theory, Miss Emmy is eligible for probation. However, I don't think that is going to take place. This is a very serious charge. And when you have attorneys out there trying to solicit people to have other people to disappear because you're upset with them, even in the heat of the moment, it means you're probably going to prison. General rule of thumb, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is simply a general rule. When there's a dead body, somebody's got to go to prison. If there was a conspiracy for there to be a dead body, somebody's got to go to prison. I think Miss Emmy needs to be prepared to remand on her sentencing date, which is now set for August 16th. Let's take a quick recess before we continue with the docket. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, an actor is charged with murder. Isaiah Stokes, he's an actor who appeared in a variety of shows, including Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, Boardwalk Empire, and Power, has been indicted by a grand jury for the murder of a man who was sitting in a parked car back in February. Now, Stokes was arraigned in Queens on Friday for the shooting of Tyrone Jones, who was 37. Now, according to the charges, video surveillance footage shows Stokes getting out of a parked car near an intersection in Queens and approaching the driver's side window of a white Jeep Cherokee. Stokes allegedly fired 11 gunshots into the car. That's according to the district attorney. Now, Jones lived about a mile and a half away from where this incident took place. And if convicted, he is looking at 25 years to life in prison. He is also facing charges of criminal possession of a weapon. As you may recall, you got to have lots of licenses to get a firearm in New York. We'll continue to follow this case. I mean, it's the world has gone crazy. I was having a conversation with a couple of police officers this weekend, and I think we all agreed the world has been completely turned upside down, and probably better part of the world has gone crazy. We'll just leave it at that. All right. Remember Kenneth Manzanera? He was held responsible. He actually pled guilty to second degree murder for the killing of his wife while they were on a cruise ship that went from Seattle to Alaska. Well, he was sentenced to 30 years in federal prison, followed by 5 years of supervised release. Not that big of a deal, right? Well, Mr. Manzanera stated that after he pled guilty, that he, in fact, did kill his wife, Christy, because she told him that she wanted a divorce and asked him to leave the cruise ship and travel back home to Utah. Well, he was going to have none of that. Well, apparently, it's still undetermined as to the cause of death, but Mr. Manzanera was found deceased in his cell at the young age of 43 years of age. If we find out exactly what the cause of death is for Mr. Manzanera, we will let you know. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. We have a bonus feature for you today, and then we'll get to our dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. These were just too good. I couldn't wait to spread them out. Okay. Please meet Lori Graves. All right. The Tulsa Police Department posted their weekly most wanted for all the individuals out there. And as it relates to Miss Grave, she was being investigated for accessory to murder in a homicide that apparently took place early in the year. Well, guess what? Miss Graves commented. That's right. She commented on the Tulsa Police Department Facebook page saying, quote, What where's the reward money at? Not smart, right? The Facebook post immediately had comments by a lot of people saying, girl, you better stay off social media. They're going to track you down. A lot of people said, well, that's not going to be funny when you're getting processed. That's right. Guess what? They found her and she has been processed after being arrested for the accessory to murder case. Lorraine Graves, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Number one. Congratulations. Tell those police you're in town where to find you. What did I tell you about social media, ladies and gentlemen? Not something you want to do if you're committing a crime. Next on the docket, our second bonus dumb criminal of the day, Sterling Love, 31. He is facing charges, get this, for attempting to steal an airplane because he wanted to fly to Hawaii. Now, he had a good choice of airplanes he wanted to steal. It was a Gulfstream. The problem? It was taxiing down a runway here in the Denver metropolitan area called Centennial. And it didn't quite work out so well for him, but wait until you hear his statement to the police. Mr. Love told the police he didn't think it would be that hard because, after all, he had played video games. It's just moving of a couple of levers and pushing a few buttons. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand. As a pilot, people often ask, can I learn to fly? And I say, hey, it's pretty easy. You just pull the stick back, the homes get smaller. You push the stick forward, the homes get bigger. But I tell you, there's a lot more to it. Whole aerodynamics, speed, airspace, communication, all that kind of stuff. It is a little more complicated than one would think that you just do while you're playing a video game. So although they may be very realistic, it's not the exact same thing when you're actually up there doing it. So, Mr. Love, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, contestant number two. Now, if you are the crowned winner as a dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, that's right, you'll receive Crime Talk swag. And you know who else is going to be receiving Crime Talk swag? That's right, Eugene Fahrenkrug. Do you remember what he did? He was the attorney that told the judge to go F himself. We've all been there. We've wanted to do it. But Mr. Fahrenkrug, you did it. You were held in direct contempt, which is criminal contempt, and you went to jail for a week. Our hats off to you for everyone who ever wanted to do it. But as they say, good initiative, poor judgment. Not something you really want to follow through on. All right, that's all we have for you today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.